Good afternoon, everybody. We will get started. My name's James Milne, and I'll be presenting on document and records management in SharePoint 2013 today. We've only got half an hour, so what I want to do is try and get through as much as possible to give you guys an overview of what's available in SharePoint 2013 and Office 365. Can I have a quick show of hands? How many people are currently running Office 365 or SharePoint 2013? Okay, so it's a good percentage of people. Out of those people, how many people are currently doing any sort of records management in SharePoint? A couple of people, a couple of maybes? Okay, so what I want to do is show you guys today what's available in SharePoint. So I will go back and just revisit on some of the basic document management capabilities of SharePoint, because I'm really surprised how many people overlook some of the basic functionality that you can get straight out of the box when it comes to document management. So we'll go through and I'll give you some demos on the version control that's currently available, and there are some improvements that we can touch on in the context of 2013. We'll then look at various strategies behind records management and the different approaches that you currently have available to you, either on Office 365 or SharePoint 2013. Cool, come on in. And then we'll touch on some of the improvements. Now, depending on how we go for time, I'm probably really going to only get about 10 minutes on each one of these topics, so I will try and dive into the demos. If you want to get the slide decks later on, what I've tried to do is capture a lot of the screenshots of different places where you can actually go in and do the settings inside SharePoint. So it'll be a good reference after the conference if you do want to follow up and try some of these techniques out. The other thing I would mention to you is at the end of the session, if you are interested in doing some more or learning more about the document and records management, it is available online in Office 365. So you can jump online and use a trial account to try it out without having to go through the process of setting up your own SharePoint 2013 environment. Okay, so firstly, let's have a look at document management. These are a number of the features that are available for you to help you do document management out of the box. So document IDs we'll touch on, version management I'll demonstrate. Document sets and content types, I just want you to be aware of what they are and what they can do for you. So document sets, for those people who haven't come across them yet, you can actually use a document set to logically group a collection of documents together. So let's say you're working on a project and you had a project specification, a technical specification, functional specs, and a whole bunch of documents that you wanted to treat as a single entity. You could actually use document sets to control a collection of documents, and you can then tag them and version control them as a single entity rather than multiple documents. Content types, for those people who are using SharePoint, I really hope you are using content types. If not, you really need to have a close look at them. Managed metadata is a huge part of document management, and you'll see that in the demonstration as I go through. If you're interested, I'm also running another session tomorrow lunchtime, which is about building search-based websites using SharePoint 2013, and term sets are actually, or managed metadata, are a big part of being able to query and find content, whether we're talking about Word documents or web content. So if you haven't looked at managed metadata service yet, I highly recommend it. Your content type hub hooks into or is part of the managed metadata service, and it allows you to push your content types out through the organization. So it allows you to create your content types, say contracts, and then push them out through all your site collections in the organization so everybody's using the same metadata to tag their documents. Term sets and keywords are related to the managed metadata service. In 2013, our metadata navigation has been improved. Traditionally, we've had managed metadata navigation on the left-hand side, and you'll see that in the demonstration as we go through. But what I wanted to do is just point it out that it has been improved in 2013, which is why I've colored it in green. So we can now actually build whole site navigations based on your term sets. Okay, so your document ID feature, basically you activate it on a site collection. Once it's activated, you can get SharePoint to actually generate your document IDs for you. Now, the document IDs are obviously searchable, but they're also they also create a permalink feature. What I mean by a permalink feature is it will generate a link that if you use that and embed that in other documents, no matter where that physical document gets moved to, the permalink will always locate that original document. So that's something to think about, especially if you're trying to reference other documents in your policies and procedures and you're using absolute URLs currently. If you use the document ID feature, it doesn't matter where that document gets moved. If it gets moved into another folder or into another library or even into another site collection, you'll still be able to find it. Okay, version management. One of the big enhancements we have in SharePoint 2013, traditionally in SharePoint 2010, version management meant that we would keep a complete copy of each document and each version was a complete copy of that document. The big change for 2013, we no longer keep a complete copy for each version. We now only keep the changes from one version to another. So we're actually piggybacking off the SQL shredded storage technology. And what that means is, from a version management perspective, the overhead of how much disk space we need to keep those documents has been dramatically reduced. So in 2010, if I had one document, which was 1 megabyte, and I had 10 copies of it, that's obviously 10 megabytes. Now under 2013, we're not losing 10 megabytes worth of storage, we're only using the storage that is required to keep track of the changes. Yes? Sorry, could you repeat that?
A version gets corrupted.
Yep.
About the subsequent version.
So the corruption would have to... sorry, for the rest of the group, the question was, if a version gets corrupted, would that impact the subsequent versions on it? That corruption would have to occur at the SQL layer. So that could be a possible issue. But that's a SQL corruption is a pretty serious corruption. Okay, so term sets, I just wanted to mention, I'll jump into the demo and you'll see term sets. How many people are currently using term sets in their organization? Awesome. So for those people who haven't come across term sets allow us to create complex metadata, so we can actually create hierarchical metadata, which has always been a challenge in SharePoint previous to 2010. In 2010 and 2013, we have multilingual support, so we can now create term sets that can actually be used in different languages. So the classic example I use is if I was to create a document about cats and tag it with cat, if somebody's in Spain and they're searching for El Gato, they're not going to find my document. Now, with managed metadata and term sets, we can actually tag that document with cat in English, but then the Spanish people would be looking for El Gato and they'll still actually find that document. So the metadata itself can actually be multilingual. So that's a huge benefit for those organizations that have to go across multiple languages. Another thing to think about with your term sets is that they can actually be imported from CSV. So a very quick, easy win for a lot of organizations is go to your ERP system or your accounting system where somebody's already been through and categorized and tagged everything. We can actually export a lot of that metadata and import that into SharePoint and reuse that to tag your documents inside SharePoint. So with that, I'd actually like to switch across to a demonstration. So I'd like to demonstrate some of the basic document management capabilities. In this example, I'm going to navigate into a contract management site. So it's just really a library full of contracts. And one of the first things I want to demonstrate is under 2013, adding new documents can be as simple as selecting those documents in your Windows Explorer and dragging them across, and you'll notice the library on the left is actually letting me know that I can drop these documents here. And so simply by dragging and dropping into the browser, those documents are now being uploaded to the server, and you can actually see the little status, and there we go, up the top there, it's letting me know that those three documents have been added to the library. Now, under 2010 and 2013, we have the ability to edit the properties against any one of those documents. Now, this is where I wanted to show you guys managed metadata or tags or term sets in action. So if I come into the divisions, you can see I can actually start typing. If I just type in I, you'll notice it's IntelliSensed into information technology. So as I start typing, it'll actually go off and try and match what I'm typing against any terms in that term store. If I'm not necessarily a person who likes to type a lot, you can see the little tag icon over there to the right. I can actually click directly on those tags, and it'll actually show me what tags are available for me to tag this particular item. So in this example, I'm going to go ahead and tag that as an information technology document. But this is a very simple structure in this example, but we could actually make that as complex as we needed to. That could actually be up to 7 layers deep, and we could actually have nested terms inside other terms. Business function, once again, I'll just say that this is to do with financial management. That's a really good question, and yes, you can. So the question for the rest of the group was, could we reuse a term and make it available in another taxonomy? So yes, you can. So we can actually, that is actually worth talking about. So I'll just click on save on that. So the term store management itself is done, it can be done through the site. It can also be done through the farm. So if you come into site settings, you'll notice there's a menu item in here called Term Store Management. Term Store Management allows me to manage those terms and add them, remove them, I can deprecate them, and I can also reuse them into other taxonomies if I needed to. The interesting thing here is that the concept of the Term Store groups can also be delegated off to different people in different parts of the organization. We can also make each one of these term sets open or closed. And what we mean by that is, you know, we may have a particular term set, you know, products. Do we want end users just going off and making up products? That probably wouldn't be a very good thing. But in some collaborative senses, where people are maybe creating knowledge bases, we might want to open the term sets up and allow them to add their own terms into those terms so we can then tag, reuse those tags on videos and other content. The reason I brought you in here is when you actually drill into, well, that's actually an example of a reused term. Notice the little arrows indicating they've been recycled. So if I go and find, say, business functions, and my menu's not appearing, so I've got to do a little trick. Oh, SP admin, just give myself admin rights on here. And now you'll notice all the options I've got. I can reuse terms, I can pin terms, I can merge terms, I can deprecate terms. So as far as a metadata management tool, this is actually very powerful. If you want to know more about that, come up and talk to me later on. Okay, so just heading back to my contracts. So contract number 6 should now be tagged correctly. I can now check that in. So we do have check-in, check-out functionality built into SharePoint, obviously. Now, one of the other things that's overlooked in SharePoint is the version control. So at any stage, you can go in and have a look at a document and actually bring up the version history on that particular document to see who has made what changes to those documents over this period of time. So you can see straight away here, I've actually currently got 2 versions of this document. Now, I remind you that I could actually just be an end user. I could be somebody with site member level access onto this site to be able to manage the versions. So from an IT perspective, the end users can now be managing their own content. So if I accidentally saved over one of your documents, you could actually go into the version history and retrieve a previous version back to make sure, you know, you've got your document without the need of calling IT to get them to go through the backup tapes. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out is, let's have a look at the document. I can actually use the version history to go in and look at the document and see what's changed over a period of time. Very handy in contract management situations. So in this example, I'm going to open the document, have a look at it. Now, stock standard contract, but this contract could have been sent outside the organization and people may have made changes to it. They then send it back into the organization. How do we keep track of what changes have actually been made to that document? So, of course, there is track changes, but how many people remember to turn track changes on before they email a document out? So if you forget about it, what we can actually do is, if I go in and have a look at review, there's this option over here to compare previous versions of this document. So you can see I can compare the last major version, the last version, a specific version. So if I use the compare specific version, I can actually, Word is actually going back to SharePoint at this point and showing me the version history. Let me try that again. There we go. So I can now see the version history I just showed you a second ago in the web interface is now being surfaced up through Office. So at this stage, I can actually look at version 2 and say, well, what's the difference between version 1 and version 2? And then ask Word to actually compare that for me. And I'll give it a second as it goes through and pulls the document down. Okay, so what we can see now is in the central section, I can see the compared documents, I can see the original document, and I can also see the revised document. So this is version 1, this is version 2. Who can spot the changes? You can see there's been 9 revisions made on this document. You can see, almost like track changes, I can actually click on the little red bars and actually see what's been changed in that document. So if this was a contract and we're going through and doing negotiations, you can see there's some very subtle changes which we are going to change the implications of what this contract is.
A question aside, will this feature actually work if you've taken documents from, say, 2.10 environment and then brought them into 2.13 environment? Will you have the same ability to compare versions?
So this functionality is available in SharePoint 2007, SharePoint 2010, SharePoint 2013. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So what happens with them when they're brought across?
Oh, that's a good question. So in the context where we're migrating from 2007 or 2010, where we don't use document shredding, when it comes across, we will keep the full version if we do a database migration. If you use a third-party migration tool, it will bring the version history across, but as it loads it back into the system, it should actually shred the documents for us. Okay, so the point behind this is you can see a few very key words have actually been changed in this contract, and without really reading it and understanding it, using the version comparison features, we can quickly identify what's been changed in this document. And so the point is we could actually send this outside of our organization, bring another copy back in. As long as the file name was the same when we upload it into the library, it's just going to instantiate itself as another version of that document. And then we can use these comparison tools to actually work out what's changed in these documents. Okay, so that's basic document management that I wanted to just cover off. Moving over and having a look at records management. So records management in SharePoint, we have a number of strategies. And I'll go through and I'll demonstrate both strategies, being in-place records management versus centralized records management. And I just want to give you guys a taste of what's possible, and then if you're interested in discussing this later on, come and grab me afterwards and we can talk about the pros and cons. I actually have put a pros and cons slide into the deck if you want to go and look at that later on. We can also generate file plans, so all of your libraries in SharePoint, you can just go in and pull a file plan out and use that for doing auditing. We also have the concept of information management policies. So things like retention policies, audit policies, barcode policies can actually be applied to any content inside SharePoint. The content type organizer, you're going to see that in action. When we submit a document into the record center, we can use the content organizer to look at metadata or properties on that document and make a decision that we need to route that off to a particular location, a particular library, to keep it secure, or to apply different retention policies to it based on how it's being tagged. We also, in 2013, now have the ability to do multi-stage retention policies. So we can actually start to create retention policies that maybe after 12 months, we want to purge all the versions of that document out of the system and just keep the last major version. And then after 7 years, we can use another stage in the same information management policy, retention policy, to purge the final version of that document out of the system. A few other big things that I want to demonstrate today will be the e-discovery components. So how many people have been in an organization where you've been through an e-discovery process? A couple of people. What did you do for the e-discovery? Was it an easy exercise?
Just through emails?
Okay. So SharePoint wasn't considered, network drives wasn't considered? Okay. So it's too hard. And usually IT gets pulled into it, into the e-discovery process to figure out, well, where is all that content and how do we search it to be able to hand that over to the legal solicitors and things like that. So I want to demonstrate the e-discovery template. I just want to mention the last two. Team folders are a way of being able to aggregate information from Exchange and SharePoint and Instant Messenger into a single location so users can collaborate on it and reference it, but we can also then use the information management policies and the retention policies to retire that content out of the organization at the appropriate stage. Site policies are new in 2013. So we've been talking about retiring content. We've now got the ability to retire a site. So through site policies, we can now actually close a site down. So by closing a site, we make it effectively read-only. We can then apply a site policy to actually say, okay, 7 years after a site has been closed down, go ahead and delete it for us. So there's some options now that traditionally we've had to manage and retire content at an item level or a library level. We've now got the ability to retire a whole site and either shut it down to make it read-only or actually delete it out of the system. Okay, so in-place versus centralized records management. So switching across to the demo, in this library that I've been playing around in before, the contracts library, I can go into the library settings on any library once the in-place records management feature has been activated. And you'll notice we have this record declaration settings, which now allows me to control how documents are declared as records in this library. So the point behind in-place records management is, as an end user working on that content, I really don't want to lose connection with that content. I want to be able to reference it, especially if it's part of my project or part of my day-to-day job. But how do we guarantee that if that is a record, that nobody's gone in and changed it? So once that setting's been activated, we can declare records either through workflows or through the interface. An end user can come in and actually choose to declare a particular document as a record. So if I go ahead and declare this document, contract number 2, as a record, I'm just going to remind you guys, I'm currently logged in here as somebody who has site collection administrator rights. So I'm actually fairly powerful in the system. My account's fairly powerful in the system at the moment. Ah, okay. Try contract number 3, declare as a record. Oh, sorry. I haven't filled in the mandatory metadata. That's why it was not letting me. Okay. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is notice the little padlock. The little padlock over there on the Word icon lets me know visually that that's now declared as a record. Now, the other thing I want to draw your attention to is even though I'm logged in as a site collection administrator, I can view the properties, I can view the document in a browser, I can view the version history, and notice everything else, there's no edit, there's no delete. I can trigger a workflow if I wanted to, but there's nothing in the list that allows me to modify that document. If I look at, say, contract 5, you'll notice the edit menu. See, I've got edit in browser, checkout, I can edit the properties. So even as a system admin, I actually can't make any changes to contract number 6. I can go in and have a look at the compliance details, and I can see the date and time that that document was declared as a record. We have the ability to place holds on those documents. So the concept of a hold is if we are using information management policies to come through and delete records out of the system, if I go into a legal dispute, I can now place a hold on that document to make sure that those documents don't accidentally get deleted while I'm still in litigation. You can also see that I can generate an audit report. So if I'm curious about who's actually been reading that document, who's been editing that document, who's been changing the permissions on that document, I can generate an audit log just on that specific item. Rather than generating an audit log on the whole site, I can just pinpoint a single item. So just quickly, just to finish up, the last thing I wanted to demonstrate is the ability to send documents to the record center. So if I pick on a document, I'm just going to edit the properties on this document to make it a valid document. And if I now check that document in, so for those people who need to rush off to the next session, thank you for attending. For those people who are still interested in seeing the last part of the demo, I'll just quickly get it out of the way. So there's contract number 7. If I select that document and then click on the Files tab, you'll notice I can actually send this document off to the Record Center. So I've just demonstrated in-place records management. The other option you have is centralized records management. So we'd create something called a record center, and the users, obviously through a little bit of training, we can show the users how to send documents off to the record center. Now when they send documents to the record center, you can send a copy, you could move the document, or more interestingly, you can move and link the document into the record center. So what that's going to do is that will send the document over to the record center, but you'll notice contract number 7 will actually become a shortcut, a little stub left in the team site, so the end user can still see the document and feel like they can access it. But in reality, that's physically been moved over into the record center, and we've applied routing rules on it to actually move it off to the appropriate folder so it can be archived and only certain people will be able to access that particular folder. Question? Sorry. So the question was, does that interfere with the revisions? So we don't refer to them as revisions, we call those versions. So what we've effectively done is taken the current version and moved that off to the record center. So in that case, I would have actually lost the previous versions of that document. So in that case, I probably would have wanted to move it or something like that. Sorry, question? Sorry, could you just... Does the search engine go to the record center? And what was the...
If I go search this site, will it find content that's in the
version? Oh. Okay, so to repeat the question, if I go and use the search this site feature, will it pick up the document in the record center? Yep. that search this site is usually by default scoped to the site collection or the current site. To answer your question, typically your record center is another site collection. So this is where you would have to either create another scope to scope it to search records or search the record center, or by default, the everything scope would actually return records that had gone to the record center, assuming I still had access to them. So that's the other thing you've got to think about with the record center is, as the user submits a copy to the record center, will they still have access to that document once it hits the record center repository? Okay, do you guys want to see one more demo? Cool. So the other thing I wanted to demonstrate, in 2013, we now have something called the Discovery Center. So in the situation where you may be served with an e-discovery order by the solicitors saying, we want all the information, not just the emails, we want documents, we want records, we want any information about these particular keywords, you can see we can actually now, traditionally, I've had a couple of customers hit with an e-discovery order, and we've had to sit down and write them scripts. We've had to reconfigure their search server to go off and search their network drives, their Exchange public folders, their inboxes, and then we've actually had to sit down with scripts that would actually do the search and then copy all those files out. So it was a fairly intensive IT effort to be involved in the e-discovery process. But now under 2013, you can see an end user, we could actually give the legal team access to the Discovery Center. And so in the Discovery Center, hopefully you don't have this many cases opened against your organization, but the legal team can come in and either create a new case or they can go and look at an existing case. And in the Discovery Center, you can each case, we can create discovery sets. So we can actually sit down and decide what information do we want to search. So do we need to search emails? Do we need to search network drives? Do we need to search SharePoint sites, intranet sites, extranet sites? We can then, through a discovery set, if we find all those keywords, we can then place a hold on all those documents so any of your retention policies aren't going to kick in and automatically delete those documents for you. We can then actually go through and do a query on this content. So in this example, actually I've got a discovery set here that I created late last night. You can see in the discovery set, I can nominate the sources of information. So that's what I mean by we can nominate inboxes. So if I go in here and add a source, I can nominate whether I want to search Exchange inboxes, network drives, other SharePoint sites. So you can see this has gone off and found 205 items on the intranet. And currently, if I was to export all of that, it's going to cost me about 29 megabytes. If I wanted to, I could place a hold across all the information on the intranet that currently contains that keyword called office. So I've been able to create, I've identified I want to search the intranet for this word, and it's come up with 205 items. What I can do now is, if I'm in the legal team, I could actually come in and say, well, I want to query that content source, and I might be looking for SharePoint. And I can specify date ranges, which part of the e-discovery order would most likely say we want all the content between these date spans that contain these keywords. So you can see these are my date ranges, my keywords once again, and then also they may be naming specific individuals as part of the e-discovery. You'll notice down the bottom here, if I just click on search, I don't expect to get a lot of stuff back from Exchange because I'm not running it at the moment. But you can see here, I can focus what content from Exchange do I want to include in this e-discovery search. And I can also switch over to SharePoint, and you can see the sites, lists, libraries. And in this example, I'm pulling back mostly ASP pages and docx files. So I can choose to filter and say, look, we're really only interested in the documents. And once I'm actually finished filtering my content, I can now say, I want to save this query or I want to export this query out. So the really cool thing here is if I say export, it's going to ask me for a folder location on my C drive, and it will basically copy all that content, in this example, four documents, automatically down to that folder, and I could then zip that up, burn it to DVD, and send that off to the lawyers. The big advantage behind this is, notice this is an end user interface that you don't need a degree in IT to use. It's basically point and click, export the content out, and however you want to then physically transmit that content to the lawyer, it's basically, you know, zip up a folder and send it to them. So I think I've gone a little bit over time, but thank you very much for attending today. If you have any other questions, feel free to come up and grab me. We can continue on demos or questions later on. Thank you very much.